Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. This week, we are going to take a look at MLW Fusion 171, Big Apple Grapple 2. I guess it's the search for more hoes in our main event. But first, the news. Of course, like, the summer is still summer, despite the rain and the world being on fire and whatnot. And as such, MLW Confusion is glad to be a proud sponsor even, for SCW Pro out of the Quad Cities. We just had our previous big event, Summer Nights, the last week, and we have a new event coming up soon. MLW Confusion is sponsoring It's Still Real to Me, the sequel, this time at the Bluegrass Drive-In Theater. Yeah, we're at the drive-in, baby. MLW Confusion bringing the Hollywood glitz to independent wrestling and SCW Pro. That will be July 15th, special start time, 8:30 p.m. Bring your own chairs. Come check it out. SCW Pro, best action in all of Eastern Iowa. And of course, if you show up, you get to see me. I'll be there, probably flanked by my posse, my special security force, lest they invite that rascally cowboy, the one called Manders, back. Need that, because that man's a menace and has tried to do grievous bodily harm to me in the past, and we can't allow that to happen again. So again, that is July 15th at the Bluegrass Drive-In Theater, 8:30 p.m. Come check out the action. Come say hi. It'll be a great show. But let's move on. Let's go on to MLW, because that's what you guys are coming here to listen to. This is what's getting me the big bucks to help promote professional wrestling. So here's our batch of MLW news. This is MLW adjacent, really, but it's making some legitimate news rounds, like not just like neckbeard news like I promote, but actual like TV news. WGBA TV NBC 26 out of Green Bay reported this morning that former MLW heavyweight champion and current national openweight champion Jacob Fatu is being accused of no-showing and ghosting a charity event in Wisconsin. Jake's Network of Hope was hosting a professional wrestling event to help raise funds for the work that they do in the Green Bay area. They contacted Fatu and paid his advance, and then when it came to the day of the show, he called and said that he couldn't make it. He apologized. The people of the charity alleged that they said it was fine, and then did ask for the advance to be returned since he's not going to come up to the show. And after that, he just stopped communicating with them and ran off with the money. And compounding this, other folks who chose not to be named in the news reports had also noted similar issues with Mr. Fatu, and I don't know what to think about this. You don't throw your name out there. There's no accountability to it, but I find that interesting. And you know, even if it's not everyone, it's just this here thing, dude. It's charity. This was an event for charity. Like, not that I want you to dick over a promoter, because not every promoter's a dirtbag, but seriously. Like, I would rather have you dick over a promoter who, you know, is looking out for themselves more than a local charity, maybe. Again, don't know how much of the validity is, but I felt the need to report it because it was making the news rounds, at least here in the Midwest, and it wouldn't surprise me if it caught on in some other places as well, considering the name value Fatu does bring to the table. Speaking of Fatu, he will be a part of Never Say Never. That is July 8th at the 2300 Arena or Fight TV Plus. Pick your poison. It has been announced that we are going to have a big beefy man battle as Fatu will be defending his National Openweight Championship against Calvin Tankman, Heavyweight Hustle. I'm not going to lie, I forgot Tankman's still with the company. I miss the dude. He was like going to be the next big thing in MLW, and now he's kind of an afterthought. Hopefully a match like this, even in defeat, will help rise his stock within the company and he can come back into prominence. Also announced is new featherweight signing Tiara James. She will be making her debut at Never Say Never either. My boy Bodhi, he already kind of covered her in detail, so I'm not going to like spend a lot of time, you know, promoting that, but I'm just going to throw out there in general that anything we can get for the featherweight division is going to be a net positive. Like, they need a proper division instead of just have a title belt, a champion, and then monsters of the week to come in and challenge for it. Like, for the title to have any sort of validity, it's either got to travel or you got to have a strong roster of competitors, and hopefully this will be a great addition to the team. I know Bodhi wants her to join the Beaumayers, and I am a fan of stables having, you know, representation in every division, so I'm down with that as well, especially since the Calling now has featherweight competition within its ranks as well. Also announced for Never Say Never, a scramble match, five-way scramble. Ken Broadway making his return to the company in addition to the debuting O'Shea Edwards. Willie Mack will be part of it. And making their debuts, Love Dove, two entirely different things, and Nolo Kitano will both be making their debut. Kitano is a member of the Northeastern Independent Circuit by way of the Bronx. Evidently, he's a strong middleweight contender that's eyeing his debut as a springboard into that position. Love Doug, I've heard his name tossed around a bit. He, again, also wrestles primarily in the Northeast, but some of my Midwestern friends is a big fan of his work. And this is from the MLW's press release that he is lusting for a grand debut in MLW. And I will say, in a match such as this, even though there's chaos everywhere, like, this is a grand way to make your debut if you can pull the victory with someone like Willie Mack and even O'Shea Edwards in there. Because O'Shea is a beast as well. With that, this goes along with already been announced, the World Heavyweight Championship being defended with Alex Hammerstone taking on Alex Kane with Mr. Thomas. The Samoan SWAT team taking on the Calling for the World Tag Team Championship in a Fans Bring the Weapons match. Technical Classic on hand as Timothy Thatcher battles Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. And the Featherweight Championship being defended, title for title even, for the WXW World Women's title as Delmi Exo defends against Ava Everett. And of course, most importantly, Becca performs live. And then for the fusion tapings that go along with it is Microman in the main event versus the FBI and Jesus Rodriguez. Ichiban debuting against TJ Crawford. Snitsky's coming back. The debut of Tiara Jane. And much, much more. That was a lot to get through. That was a lot of news today. So let's just jump into it. Fusion 171. We got a strap match. We got the Big Apple Grapple. It's been announced that Mandy Leon will make her debut. So let's just hop right into it. The show starts off with highlights of the Sam Adonis-Mance Warner feud. It started way back at Battle Riot when they eliminated each other and just continued to brawl around the ring. And things have just escalated from there with the members of Azteca Underground trying to strangle old Mancer with a leather strap. So we will get retribution in the form of strap match here tonight. Our first match of the evening is Clara Carreras taking on Mandy Leon. Carreras has been seen in the MLW ranks before. La Chica, as she is known, had a handful of matches with the company. This is Mandy Leon's debut. She is the Frankenbride of the Calling. She is being led to the ring with Raven. And Of course, being a protege of Raven, she is going to take every underhanded tactic she can to get the victory. Before the bell even rings, Leon attacks, just taking over just immediately. Carreras comes back, though, hits a cannonball in the corner, but Leon cuts it short, sends Clara to the outside where one of the gas mask killers is out there strangling Clara. Clara comes back in, takes advantage for a bit, hits a big frog splash for two. However, this is all for naught as Mandy Leon hits astral projection. Wow, that was a mouthful for some odd reason. Which is usually her finisher. But nope, she's not done yet. Pulls Clara up and hits the Raven effect, even flow DDT to get the victory. And so that was a solid debut for Mandy Leon. Personally, I would have either A, like to see a closer to a traditional squash match for Leon, or B, have it a bit more competitive, or C, have Raven, like, actually get involved too. I don't know. But it didn't, like, it just kind of fell flat for me. And this is, I'm going to say throughout there, this is my personal opinion. The match was completely serviceable. There wasn't anything inherently wrong with it. But as a debut, I feel that you either need to have a really good match in general, or B, you need to, like, just decimate your opponent. And this match was neither of those things. So I don't know. I don't want to say it soured me, because, I mean, here's me being single. It's MLW, and we're dealing with a match that is, like, 3 months old at this point. So it's kind of hard to, you know, do some of that stuff and build the excitement, per se. I just would have liked to see something along the lines of a more traditional debut, especially if she's going to be a contender for the middleweight title, which I, just by name value alone, I assume she is. So there's that. All right. I've talked a lot before this show even got started. So let's take a pause for the cause, take a break, get an energy drink, do whatever it is you do as I rattle on incoherently in between chunks of matches. I'll be back un momento. If you're like me, sometimes you need a pick-me-up to get you through the day. I drink Raise Energy for that pickup. Raise comes in a bunch of different flavors, and more recently, Italian Ice, which is great, by the way. And it contains no sugar, so there's no crash after you drink it. And really, like, best of all, if you go through me and go to wetrepsports.com, use my code CASS, you get 15% off your order. So, also, be like CASS, drink Raise Energy. All right, we are back. Mance Warner, Matthew Justice are outside the arena. They are waiting on the one called Manders, who can't do anything right. He's late, but when he does finally arrive, he brings a special strap from Iowa City, Iowa, obviously the strap capital of the world. It's a special strap from Iowa City 78, as he puts it. Or was it 76? I don't remember. At this point, I just heard wham, 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 wham. I'm a cowboy. Woo. And Mance is excited about the special strap. It's going to make it good for a whipping. When the wild SST appears, Juicy Finau, Lance and Hawaii show up with beers. They put over the second gear crew. Thank them for their help last week, helping neutralize all the threats to Jacob Fatu during his big match for the National Openweight Championship. They have a word, and finally they're like, well, let's have a tag team title match. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. We are going to have a tag team championship match next week. Second gear crew, Matthew Justice, one called Manders, will be taking on the Samoan SWAT team for the MLW Tag Team Championship. I got the Heavyweight Championship on my brain now, because a lot of talk about that in the background prior to this here show. Alright, so let's move on. Maybe get some things back on track. Microman is hanging out with Willie Mack. They're eating Dunkin' Donuts in a blatant chunk of product placement. Mr. Saint Laurent comes down. He's like, dude, what are you doing? You can't be eating that. You'll get fat. Or we need at least get paid for this. Come along. and just like drags Microman away before, not before grabbing a box of Dunkin'. And Willie Mack's like, what was up with that? So they're really hammering home the point that MSL is a jerk. So we'll see where this goes, if we'll finally get a payoff for that anytime soon. Following this, we are out on the roof. Jacob Fatu is celebrating his title victory with his SST brethren. They did it. They did it in New York. Huzzah! It is time for our next match. It is Sam Adonis coming out alone, FYI, taking on Mance Warner in a strap match. Evidently, they are doing traditional strap match rules. The competitors are strapped by the wrist to each other by a large leather strap. Victory will only be had by tagging all four turnbuckles in, I guess, any order, but traditionally done in a circle. But no pinfalls, no submissions, only turnbuckle tapping. Things start off surprisingly not as hot as you'd think for a feud like this, but things pick up quickly, as Sam Adonis starts off with the advantage with chokes and whips on Old Mancer. We do get the rope walk blockbuster, which is always impressive for a dude that size. We come back from break, and Adonis hits the double sledge on Warner. Goes up for another top rope move, assuming it's the 450, when Mance pulls Adonis off the top rope, and they go fighting outside, starting with a neckbreaker to the floor. That couldn't have felt good. Sam is sent into the guardrails, and then finally gets his whippings in. Like a scalded dog, he runs. Mance brings a board into the ring when Sam goes low and yoinks the strap right into Mancer's dick. Get a pop-up headbutt. And this is where we start kind of like start keeping track of turnbuckle touching. They're out of order. No one cares about the momentum, and commentary is like trying to cover this, but like they're fighting, and the ref is still holding up all of his fingers. Like, no, nobody's like making an active attempt to touch the turnbuckles, really. Like, I don't know why this here is a thing, but it is. It's a thing. Turnbuckles count anytime they want. So both of them are at three when Mance tackles Sam through the board next to the turnbuckle, which causes Sam to hit the turnbuckle, and surprise, that's the last turnbuckle Sam needed. So the winner of this match, Sam Adonis. And outside of, like, the concept of how the turnbuckle counts were counted, like, this was a fun match. Like, it was everything you would want in a strap match. People are strapping each other, it's a wild brawl, it's Mance Warner, like, he's great, Sam Adonis is great in his role. It's just the weird convoluted, like, I can just touch the turnbuckles, and we're not going to count a break. So, like, I don't, like, under that logic, you could have just, like, touched turnbuckles anytime you wanted, and regardless of what happens, like, you'd, you know, get to still touch a turnbuckle, and it's just still on the game clock. But, you know, what do I know? It is what it is, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just going to focus on the positive at this point, because I'm getting into old man yelling at cloud territory. It was a good match. It was a good match between two excellent competitors, and outside of the ending, I was thoroughly entertained. After the match, an upset Mance Warner hits Sam Adonis with what's left of that board. So, you know, they get a little bit of a comeuppance. Following this, we do get part one of the Beaumaier expose. They are threatening to leak the benefactor of the Beaumaier Fight Club before Kane threatens to do so at Never Say Never. They talk about potential benefactors, noting Dan Lambert, who brought Kane into the company, Shane Taylor, of all people, who doesn't really have much of a history with MLW, but has had, you know, his hands with folks that are involved with MLW, and then, totally left field, Wale. Yeah, the dude hanging out with wrestlers at nightclubs, and is now possibly bankrolling the Beaumaier Fight Club. I'm confused. But we have more next week, so I guess that's the important thing. More content. Do it for the content. Speaking of doing things, Mance Warner is backstage, and he is mad. He's upset about, like, the shenanigans of that match. He knows that there is no more running. Back where he comes from, in a bar, him and his buddies have leather straps, and a guy wants to run, he gets whipped back into the fight until he can't fight no more. And that's what he's wanting. He's wanting a country whipping match with Sam Adonis, so none of this BS turnbuckle stuff, which, well, I happen to agree with, that no more of that. But just whoopings, just violence, baby. Backstage, Sam Laterna is with Delmi Exo. Excuse me, she's not backstage, she's on the stage itself. They're about to have an interview when a wild Taya Valkyrie attacks. This attack is ended with a curb stomp onto the featherweight championship. Then security tries to run Taya off. So let her do the most damage before you step in. Great idea, guys. I hope you get a bonus for this. Anyway, she is very upset by her loss. And she's just like, you gotta defend that belt in 30 days, so I'm coming for it back. Good luck with a broken neck. So that there's a thing now too. So Taya may not actually be gone. I don't know. I guess we'll find out with whatever footage happens to be left. Next, we have the Never Say Never Control Center. It really is not giving us any new information this week. Just reiterates July 8th, Fight TV Plus runs down the match card, which I did prior. They do note it is official. Mance Warner will be taking on Sam Adonis in a country whipping match. From there, we get the juxtaposition from this to Ava Everett. She will be challenging for the featherweight championship and putting her own WXW Women's Championship on the line. She refers to herself as a groundbreaker, turning the WXW Women's Championship into a legitimate world title by defending that championship around the world. And now she has her sights set on the MLW Featherweight Championship. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for our main event of the evening. It is the Big Apple Grapple, an open contest where if you get to beat Alex Kane, you get a bag of money. That's simple. Now, there's no time limit this time. You just got to pin or submit Kane, and you get the money. Who's it going to be? Who's going to sign up for this open challenge? It is Shigehiro Irie, world traveler, WXW champion in his own right, multiple excursions here in America. Like, big dude. Like, actually, we got some name value for this. I'm not gonna lie. I was expecting some schlub to be doing this, but nah, man. We got some meat up here, and we're just gonna start off hot and heavy. They pie face each other as the bell rings. Irie takes control fast while it makes Kane go to the outside. Kane, however, does take advantage out on the floor, whipping Irie into the guardrails and into the ring post. Kane follows that up with a big splash on the ring apron, which happens to be the hardest part of the ring, if you weren't aware of that. We go to break, and Kane is hitting some shoulder tackles and hits a stalling gun wrench suplex. That was a feat of strength. Irie is a big boy, built like a refrigerator. Shigehiro Irie, there we go. I try to write both words in my notes on top of each other. Blocks a suplex attempt and hits his own vertical suplex. Hits it like a car crash, suicide dive. Kane is sitting on the ring apron, and Irie hits a crossbody through the bottom rope through Kane, and they all just bloody crash to the floor. Like, I yelled out curse words seeing that. We get back in the ring. Irie hits a tumbleweed in the corner for a two count. We get a spirit battle. Irie hits a lariat and a Saito suplex, but Kane's like, nah, son. Hits a big clothesline. Goes for the eyes for a brief respite from control, hits the crash landing suplex, follows up with a mark of Kane, the big finish for the three count, the winner of the Big Apple Grapple Part 2, Alex Kane. After the match, Kane gets on the mic. He calls out Alex Hammerstone. Hammer comes out, accuses Kane of running his mouth, and Kane's like, fine, just bring it. And the refs are holding Hammer back, and Hammer's just kind of getting backed away by the referees. And Kane, smokes him on the mic. It's basically like, you could get through them easily if you wanted to, Royd boy. And, that's kind of it. But my aid for the people. I don't know what's going on, but, Hammer is not getting a good look coming into this match. Kane's not wrong. He could power through those referees if he really wanted to. I know he's a good guy now and whatever. Maybe he's just losing his edge. Maybe he's getting complacent and losing his edge, which hurts me to say because I love Hammer. Hammer is my boy. But Kane, dude, Kane was straight fire tonight. And just, I mean, just on that alone, just give Kane the title. Like, let's just be real about it. But back to the match itself. Like, these are just two meaty boys, like, just beating each other, and I'm down for it. It was a good match and blew my expectations out of the water, because I'm not going to lie. When I was talking with the boys earlier, I fully expected this match to be just a jobber squash, and then Kane and Hammerstone would have a brawl to end the show. But that was not the case, and I am glad I am wrong. I don't always say I'm glad I'm wrong, but in this situation, I am glad that I am wrong. And so that is how we end the show. So we kind of, like, I will throw it out there that this show seemed kind of blah to me. I'm kind of rambling, but we're getting like 25 minutes in, and you guys know I like to keep these relatively short, comparatively speaking. I don't know. There was just something off about tonight, and there was nothing, like, really on paper to say, like, why? Like, the matches were great. The matches were decent, but just, I don't know, just something off. Like, maybe it's just how they're treating Hammer, or just how Mandy Leo's debut just kind of fell flat for me, or the weird rules to the strap match. So, like, everything on paper, like, should have been great, and, like, I just wasn't doing it for me. Strictly humble opinion, though. Like, I again, I'm not saying, like, the matches were bad, or this is just, I don't know. Maybe I'm just grumpy this week. I don't know. That could be a thing, too. I've been kind of grumpy this week for some other reason. It's choking on those Canadian wildfires. Maybe it's the wasp that's stuck up in the light above me. And I don't know if that's picking up on the microphone for you guys, but it's distracting me. And not that I need a good reason not to do good at this here job. But, dudes, there's a wasp, like, stuck in the light bulb, like, buzzing at me. And it's driving me crazy. But anyway, never mind that. Let's wrap it up. Wrap it up, baby. Let's do this. So we got at least one more. We got one more fusion before the big pay-per-view event. So hopefully they hit a home run going into it. You know, check out the show if you haven't. You know, check out Fusion. See if you share my opinion on that. Like, as I said, like, everybody, like, did their job rather well, and I just wasn't feeling it tonight. Maybe it's just me. But if I'm wrong, you know, hit me up on the socials. Get those here. I'm going to, you know, get all the plugs, the best ways you can, you know, interact with me if you can't come to SCW Pro events. Hit me up on the social medias and, you know, figure out the best ways to help support this here podcast if you enjoy it. Check out the boys over at the Urban Wrestling Network. Bodhi's been on fire with solo vids. Head over to my YouTube. I have that somewhere in the links. Dropped a video on Bad Attitude couple weeks back. Working on another project now, so I could use some words of encouragement, or, you know, some extra, you know, time thrown at my way via Patreon. But yeah, so stay tuned for the plugs, the best ways to help this here podcast, and I will catch you guys all next time.
MLW Confusion is a weekly podcast that is written and performed by Rob Kammer and hosted by Spotify for Podcasters. MLW Confusion is part of the Urban Wrestling Network. You can check out the Underground Rundown on YouTube at Urban Wrestling NW. The background music for this section is Ruined My Day, performed by Alan Schroeder. If you enjoyed this podcast and like to support, please like, subscribe, and tell your friends, family, and enemies. Leaving a review is also helpful, because word-of-mouth advertisement is very important for small podcasts. My social media links can be found in the descriptor below, but the Twitter and Instagram are at the Nova of Cass. That's TheNovaOfCass, and MLW Confusion can be found on Facebook at MLW Confusion, all one word. If you'd like to support monetarily and help upgrade my equipment, please check out my virtual tip jar at ko-fi.com/Casanova. That's CassOnova. If you prefer more bang for your buck, go to patreon.com/Casanova. For as little as $1, Patreon backers get access to the podcast early and without those pesky ads, plus other exclusive content. So join the crew that is headed up by Keith Wynn and Alan Schroeder and check it out. You can also find t-shirts, coffee mugs, and other merchandise at the Confusion Podcast store on Teespring. You can find that link below as well. For all business inquiries such as ads, sponsorship, and other voiceover work, please email at rzkammer@comcast.net. Kammer is spelled K-A-M-E-R-E-R. Thank you all for listening.